I am recovering from shoulder surgery. I don't know if you knew that, but one of the things my doctor told me is I've got to take a baby aspirin or a low-dose aspirin every morning and every night because there's a risk of blood clots after surgery. That's on top of my doctor, and I'm sure maybe yours too if you're over the age of 60, telling you to do the same thing to reduce your risk of a first heart attack or stroke. Or also in some cases, there's a belief that it also reduces your risk of colorectal cancer, where now those guidelines have been turned on their heads, and experts are giving us different advice. We welcome in Dr. Jeff Barnes, a cardiologist and vascular medicine specialist at the University of Michigan Health Frankel Cardiovascular Center. Dr. Barnes, good to have you with us.
Hey, thanks for having me this morning.
Help us decipher this flip-flop or this turnabout. Was there a surge in bleeding episodes that have led the experts to now believe that the risk of bleeding is greater than the reward of reducing your heart and stroke risk?
You know, I think this recommendation was sort of building over the last few years. As you described, we know that aspirin can have some downsides to it, including bleeding, and that understanding has been increasing in recent years. At the same time, we also know that the benefits of aspirin may not be as great as we once thought they were. So while it is still helpful to prevent heart attacks and strokes, it probably doesn't prevent heart attacks and strokes quite as well as we thought it used to, because we have changed in the last couple decades. We smoke less, we control our cholesterol better, and so it's sort of changed that risk-benefit calculation.
So I guess I'm curious. I can see how maybe other factors have changed this, but has it changed it that much? I mean, we knew about the bleeding risks when these guidelines were announced over a decade ago. I guess, has the bleeding risk escalated?
I don't think it's escalated. We just have a better appreciation for how much bleeding happens because of aspirin and what the downsides of that bleeding are. But more importantly, we've gotten a number of studies in the last 3 or 4 years that have told us that the benefit of aspirin is probably not as great as it used to be.
So what about those of us that have been doing this low-dose regimen without any difficulty at all? People like me. I mean, if we haven't experienced any of these risk factors or any of the bleeding issues, why end it?
Well, the USPSTF, the group that's making this recommendation, really stresses that you need to have an individual discussion with your healthcare provider, your doctor, your nurse practitioner, because it may not be as helpful for you. And of course, as we get older, we're more likely to have those bleeding complications. So that balance may shift over time. And it's important to talk about what's the best decision for you as an individual.
So what about other risk factors that may throw this risk reward into aspirin's favor? If I have a history of heart disease in my family, does that change the calculation? What other factors will weigh into this decision?
Well, the biggest factor that weighs in is a personal history of heart attack or stroke. If you have had one of those, then this recommendation strongly is to take an aspirin for most people.
Okay.
Otherwise, things like a very strong family history of early heart attack and stroke, if you're a smoker, if you have diabetes, those are other factors that weigh in. And for some folks, it may still be appropriate to take this baby aspirin. So that's where you have to work with your doctor to understand your full medical situation and what your risks are.
Oh, I've got so many questions for him already, doctor. I don't know if you saw it, but the SALT guidelines are going to be coming out from the FDA. If they haven't come out already, I have been unable to find the details on them yet. But apparently there will be new goals and guidelines to reduce overall salt intake in our diets, both that we introduce in our own diet ourselves and that which is done by food processors. What do you expect those recommendations will be, and how impactful will they be?
Well, I think what we're going to see here again is that the things we put in our body, like salt in the foods we eat, have significant impacts on our overall health. And so when we can reduce the amount of salt we take, we can help to prevent high blood pressure, and by doing so, help to prevent heart attacks, strokes, and other problems with heart and blood vessels. So anything we can do as a society to reduce the overall intake of salt will be really important in making each of us more healthy to live longer, healthier lives.
Well, especially when so much of this intake is out of our own control. It's because whoever is making maybe the canned soup that we're using, just floods it with sodium to give it extra flavor, which may make us like that product better, but it certainly isn't healthy for us.
That's absolutely right, and we need to really be careful. We teach a lot of our heart patients that they need to check the cans and the labels to see how much sodium is in that package. People are often quite surprised with how much salt is in, as you mentioned, a can of soup or any of the other pre-prepared foods that they often eat.
One other thing that I wanted to get your reaction to, and I apologize because this isn't one of the things we reached out to you about, and I don't want to blindside you, but yesterday the Food and Drug Administration approved 3 different vaping devices from a company called Vuse, V-U-S-E, concluding that the benefit to helping people quit smoking was greater than the risk of taking up the vaping habit or the risk that kids would take up the vaping habit. What do you think about that?
Well, I think this is a really delicate situation. We know that smoking tobacco cigarettes is extremely harmful for one's health. And anything we can do to reduce the dependence on tobacco would be an important step forward. Now, I do think it's critical that we don't encourage new people to start vaping, but rather if you're going to vape, it's used as a tool to help you quit smoking with an end goal of eventually not using any tobacco products at all.
Okay. All right, let's sum this up and put a tight bow on it for all of our listeners, those struggling with the competing advice now that they got maybe years ago from their doctor saying, take that baby aspirin, it reduces your risk of a first heart attack, stroke, and colorectal cancer, to what the new guidance should be. Is it simply an ask your doctor situation, or would you recommend against it?
No, it's absolutely an ask your doctor situation. Talk with them, understand your individual risks, and let's make the best decision for each individual patient.
All right. Dr. Jeff Barnes, thank you so much. I have visited the Frankel Cardiovascular Center. It is a wonderful center out there in Ann Arbor. You guys are doing great work, and we appreciate your insights.
Thanks for having me.
You are very welcome. Doesn't it seem like every day, whether it's sodium intake or aspirin, they keep caffeine in pregnant women? How many times has the guidance on that changed? You talk about a moving target. And for those of us that are really trying to watch these things, it can get pretty frustrating.